the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave. Dave Dameshek. What's going down? Welcome to episode number 112 of the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes and at nfl.com/Sheck. S-H-E-K, week 14 is upon us. As you can hear, it's the footballiest time of the year. December's here, Christmas, the holidays just about here as well, but it's really the footballiest time of the year. Can't be debated. Let's debate things that matter, though, in week 14 with our pal seated to my immediate right, as always, from NFL.com, from NFL Fantasy Live. Look for the like-dislike column, depending on when you're listening. It may be up there. As we speak, it's Adam Rank. What's the poop, fella?
Hey, boss. Thanks for having me.
Sure, sure. What a pleasure to see you again.
The pleasure's all on this side of the desk.
I bet. Now, listen, here's what I think. I think this is an exciting week 14. It's interesting in the sense that now we've reached the stage where what the teams are playing for is going to impact the results. What I mean by that is the Redskins win on Monday night. Had they lost that game against the Giants, and they're probably realistically not playing for a whole lot. There's not a playoff spot realistically on the line. This then affects how they're going to show up to play the Ravens, and if the Redskins win that game where they otherwise might have, if they might have been flat because the game didn't mean much, it's obviously going to affect the way the entire AFC playoff shakeout and the NFC playoffs. I find that sort of thing fascinating. Certainly, the big matchup on Monday night, Houston at New England, the Texans win that one. And they essentially salt away the top seed in the AFC. Lose that one, though, it becomes a muddled mess. Who knows what'll be if the Patriots lose that one? Who knows who's going to get that bye week, that treasured bye week, and that home game in the second round because of the Broncos. Patriots beat the Broncos head-to-head. Ravens beat the Patriots head-to-head. So much yet to be determined is what I'm getting at here.
Isn't it weird, though, that game's on Monday night? Like, remember back in the day, you'd be so excited for a great Monday night matchup. You'd be fired up, you know, like two great teams. And then now the current NFL, it seems like, oh, you're wasting that one on Monday night.
It's funny you couch it that way, but that is true. Yeah, you don't generally get such dandy games.
Sunday or something.
I am surprised that NBC with their ability to flex games in. Mm-hmm. Are they able to do that? I guess they can't do it with Monday Night Football.
Doubt it. Yeah,
I get. Yeah, that makes sense. Because why wouldn't they just steal that game from ESPN? That's a much better game.
Yeah, it seems like it's going to be wasted on that.
Yeah. All right. Let's say hello to another man here all the way from England joining us now in Studio 66 as he does as often as he possibly can. We delight in his company. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank from England. Handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England. Handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England. Handsome from England. His name is Handsome Hank. He's handsome, Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Thank you, Dave. How are you?
I'm just fine, and I'm ready here for the next little while here. I think it's going to be a gay old time here. We have Terrence Newman, DB, for the Cincinnati Bengals, right in the mix there for one of those wild card spots in the AFC. Former Cowboy. Guess who's coming to Cincinnati this week? The Dallas Cowboys. So we'll talk to him about that in just a bit.
With his buddy Pac-Man as well. Also going back to Dallas.
No, well, they're coming.
They're playing. Cowboys, yeah.
Yeah, so that's another dandy game that has massive playoff implications. Handsome, I feel like we didn't get a good answer out of you on this one, or I cut you off too quickly last week. You went to see on Thanksgiving, on our nation's Thanksgiving holiday. You don't acknowledge it, being an Englishman. So you went and saw James Bond. Give a proper review. Good picture, great one. Where's it rank in the Bond canon?
Look, the first, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes are exhilarating. They always have the opening scene and then they have the titles. And I was so into that that the titles kind of interrupted things for me. I was like, get this out of the way. Although they were very entertaining, as they always are. The whole movie's very good. It had that kind of, if you've seen the latest Batman movie, it has that kind of overcoming a darkness in his own heart.
Thing. Gritty.
Gritty, exactly, gritty. But the final scene is very exciting, but right at the end, there's a
Well, don't give anything away.
I'm not giving anything away, but the very final scene, so the climactic scene with the bad guy and him and the showdown, very exciting. And then the final scene's a bit of like, meh, you didn't need that in there. I don't need that.
So
and
often
then
that's
becomes
true.
Robin.
Oh, you've spoiled it.
Well, to be fair, he becomes Batwing.
Sure.
I don't. You're more
Nightwing.
Comic booky than
Nightwing.
Nightwing. Yeah, I'm not as comic booky as you are. Mm-hmm. I loved him as a kid, and I'm not. I don't mean that to sound like I'm demeaning you. I just have lost track with what goes on there.
Oh, I lost track for a long time until they did the relaunch with the new 52.
I love the idea that you mentioned a couple weeks ago. I think that Superman that they've now put him in his little vessel or whatever crashes in the Soviet Union.
Yes.
So it's a reimagined Superman, not waving the red, white, and blue, but instead the sickle and hammer.
Yeah, and I finally finished that one, too. It was amazing.
It is good.
They should make a movie out of it.
How can you understand it when he's speaking Russian?
They translate it.
So, in answer, do you ever have that thing where you get out of the movies and you, for a while, you feel like the character, you have a feeling like you are a spy or a superhero?
No. I've never had that feeling
that is,
before.
I've had that feeling since I was a kid. If you watch a movie that you get really into, you're like, oh, I am.
He's English,
so my
it makes
feeling
sense.
Of I was James Bond lasted about sort of 2 hours afterwards. I sloped around and sipped on a martini and stuff like that, and then I went to bed, and the next morning I was.
Then you realize you lock your keys in your car.
Right, exactly, that kind of thing.
Well, the greatest compliment, Michael Fabiano, our pal, mentioned the fantasy guru here at the NFL, said to me on the stage. I said it then. I say it again now. I'll never hear a better compliment. He said that Dave, you sort of have a way about you. You sort of have a look that reminds me of Indiana Jones. I swooned. I've never heard it before. I'm sure that Fabiano's out of his mind. But the mere idea that someone, another human being, saw fit to say that, I mean, that's the best you could do. I mean, that's Han Solo we're talking about.
That's pretty mean.
What are you talking about?
I'm sure he's being facetious.
No, I mean, listen,
Semetic
Solo, I shall take. Our pals of from Bindle Dog fame who animate all the NFLs for us. New one coming up for you. Christmas Gift. Ooh, we started off with the Christmas talk here. Christmas Gift, the single most requested NFL premise ever, is going to be ready for you for the holidays. You'll have that for your eyeballs.
What is it?
I don't want to talk about it. Or I guess that's not that big a secret. It's not like a secret anyway. It's what do you think it is?
What if Dieter Brock was not the Rams quarterback in the
85
NFC Championship?
Look at that.
He did it. That stinker. He got the Dieter Brock drop. Good for Rank there. Yeah, we do that on the show. If this is your first time listening, I'm sure we won't have to tell Terrence Newman that. But for everybody else, as a first time listener, you should know that. Who is the best movie character to be then? If you could be any movie character, is James Bond too easy? Indiana Jones? Solo's pretty good.
Solo's up there.
Is Solo the coolest of them all? Can you? You can't beat Solo because
what if
he's great? He plays by his own rules, and he's still ultimately a good guy. He comes through in the end when you need him. He just he's not gonna. He's not some namby pamby like Skywalker. And that's more great news. A programming note from Damashek. Next week, as you may or may not know, I go on Adam Carolla's podcast regularly and talk about sports and other hooey and applesauce with him. Next week, be on the lookout for this one. This one's a dandy. I'm in studio, and so is Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Carolla has no time for the Star Wars trilogy. He literally has no idea if he's seen them. That is, have you seen them? Like, I don't know. I think I saw one of them. I got a whiff of nerd, and I get tuned out.
Oh,
he's not going to have any questions for Mark Hamill. That's going to be Damashek, Skywalker, magic. That's it.
Wow.
Very nice.
But you know what my first – send me questions, too, on the Twitter, at Damashek.
What is your first question going to be?
Greatest lightsaber fight in history. What's the correct answer? I'll ask you. I'll ask all of you. Black Tie, have you seen that? Are you aware of the Star Wars trilogy?
We've had this conversation before.
I to ask you. You've not seen it. I like to remind everybody that
never
you
have.
Well, that's crazy.
It's a decision of mine. How's that crazy? I just never have.
It's a decision. Bad decision.
So ridiculous.
Based on the fact growing up, I just didn't want to watch it.
But now you are grown up.
Going
apparently.
To jail and injecting crank are bad. Are decisions too? They're just bad decisions. You understand?
According to you, I just haven't seen them.
that.
Black Tie throwing his good name behind a number of controversial issues.
Can I throw in one more good news?
Please.
Please.
All right. Big thanks to our listeners. We won the Stitcher, very prestigious Stitcher Award for best sports commentary. No thanks to you, Rank. No thanks to you even, Dave.
Why?
What
and
does
no
that
thanks
mean?
To me
what
neither.
What do you mean?
Big thanks to our listeners, though. Big thanks.
Why, why does our success pain you?
I'm giving props to the listeners. That's all I'm doing here, guys. Big thanks to them. Big shout-outs to them.
Wow, Thank you. That's terrific. So this the 2012 Stitcher Award for Best Sports Show. Is that what it is?
That is correct, yes.
Wow, that's wonderful. I saw the thing come through on the email. Yeah, that's fantastic news, and it's listener voted on, so that's fantastic. I give the credit to the UK, the way that the droves over there are swooning for their countryman. Mm-hmm. Handsome Hank's effort here has really made quite a difference for us, I think. But yeah, that's awesome. That's a heady company too, eh, Rank?
Yeah, there's a lot of big names, guys, like the best
Nerdist beat out Corolla's podcast. How about that? I could have been a two-time champion.
You could have been, yeah.
I won two! 2013, I won two! Pretty good. All right, awesome. So, all right, I have a cold, though, as you can hear. So, before Terrence Newman joins us, and we also have a blacklist to get to there, Black Tie?
We do, yep.
All right. Go back and listen to episode 111. We were joined by Dwayne Brown, great left tackle of the Houston Texans. We kibitzed with Handsome. We talked with Dan Hanzus about the Jets mess. I cannot believe that they're starting Mark Sanchez. That seems like some, you know, Rex Ryan.
They've given up.
But, well, have they given up? I mean, they're certainly not getting ready for the future. I feel like somebody's you could go either way that Woody Johnson said or someone up top in the Jets organization said, you have to play Sanchez here. We're paying him too much money. The other way that might have gone is Woody Johnson said, hey, guess what? Your job is not guaranteed. You better win out here. You need to win a bunch of games here. And in that case, I would think that Sanchez gives him a better chance in the short term to McElroy.
Over McElroy, yeah. What if Rex actually, and this sounds a little crazy coming out of my mouth, but let's think about it. What if Rex actually isn't happy in New York and kind of wants to get himself fired?
Like, you expect him to be driving around the parking lot at Jets Park with the Super Bowl III trophy behind his car with a megaphone being like, Joe Namath wasn't that great.
Well, it is a fun subject to dig into is what's going to be with these coaching positions here. And you know, the quarterbacks obviously are going to be moving around, but the musical chairs of those two spots in the offseason is going to be compelling stuff. I don't know that you can give the NFL credit for creating it this way. If it was just dumb luck that things have fallen this way. But for whatever reason, the NFL is the true 12-month-a-year sport now. I mean, it is fascinating to follow. The baseball meetings are happening right now, but are you living and dying reading that wire as much as you?
A little bit.
Well, you care about what happens with the Halos. I care what happens, but it's really going to be as soon as the Super Bowl's over and those coaches start moving around, that's going to be fun. Then you'll start getting ready for the draft and the free agency, then the draft. Then you'll shut it down for a couple weeks, and you know, then the summertime will be here. We'll go out, we'll frolic in the sea, and then football season will be here again. I'll see you then. That's the Cliff's Notes version of how Damashek spends the next 11 months of his life. But let me say this. Well, how I spent the last couple of days making a new shame report for you.
Ooh.
And also a new check to the future where Rank and I jump into the future to divine for you who's going to win all the weekend's biggest games. Look at that. Both of those. NFL.com/Sheck, S-H-E-K. I also do my pick'em picks here. NFL.com/pick'em. Black Tie. With no further ado, I'm going to make my 60 seconds or less picks here, which generally speaking are better than yours. Anyone within the sound of my voice, they shall be better than yours. Ready, set, go. It is Thursday as we record right now. Denver at the Broncos. Denver's going to win that one. Falcons at the Panthers. I'll go Falcons. I am very tempted. Very tempted. You know what? I'm going to take the Panthers. Titans at Colts. Colts. Rams at the Bills. 5-6-1 Rams. They're playing well. So are the Bills, though. Not too bad. I'll go with the Bills. Chargers at the Steelers. I will take the Steelers. Eagles at the Buccaneers. Buccaneers clinging to their playoff hopes. Jets at Jags. I'll go with the Jets just to bug all the Jets fans. They might win out. Chiefs at the Browns. Cleveland has been playing very good ball over the last 6 weeks, win or lose. I'll go with them. Cowboys at the Bengals. I'm taking the Cowboys in a road victory. Bears at Vikings. Don't tell Terrence Newman I said that, though.
Bears at Vikings. I'll take the Bears. Ravens at Skins, a shootout. The Beltway Bowl. The Redskins win it. Dolphins at the Niners. 49ers need this one already. Cardinals at the Seahawks. Breathing down those Niners next. The Seahawks win at home. Saints at Giants. I think the Saints get a road win, a big upset there, and really jeopardize the Giants' chances of getting into the postseason. Detroit at the Packers. Packers big. Texans at Patriots. The Texans win it. And I'll say this. Stop the music. I feel like, the Texans, for their franchise, this is a big-time game for them. Obviously, it is for the Patriots, too. Practically, if they lose, like I say, they're really, they might end up being the fourth seed. They really could be the fourth seed and be looking at maybe the Colts, maybe the Steelers, maybe the Bengals. The Texans can salt away that top seed with a win. I think they desperately want to do that. I think that they are the more physical team, certainly. I think that they look to establish that fact in a game against the perennial powerhouse of the AFC, the Patriots. I think they go in there and just really pound them, but good. I think they're just going to really try and grind them with Arian Foster. Rank, how say you on that game?
Do you feel that the Texans are going to John Harbaugh this game?
Meaning what?
They go all out. It's their Super Bowl.
I'm sorry. No, but I do think that maybe they looked ahead, and that's to what has been owed these sort of good but not spectacular dominating victories lately. They figured, yeah, we're good. We're going to take care of business against these bum teams. Mm-hmm. It's that Patriots game that really is looming on the near horizon, and now they're here.
This is probably the most important regular season game they've had since their first one against the Cowboys, right? Or is that too?
Wow, that's a strong statement.
It just seems because they're so good.
Yeah, maybe it is, and either way, what it does allow them to do is that you say the John Harbaugh thing. Harbaugh gets the Ravens way too up for those Steeler games, and then it's to the team's detriment the following week. I think with the Texans that Kubiak and company can sell to the team. Listen, show up for this game, win this game, and then we're on easy street till the playoffs start. I think you can make a compelling case where we can't blow this now. We're at 12-1 should they end up winning that. Although it won't be that. It won't be in the bag, assuming the Broncos win. Handsome Hank, who do you like, Patriots, Texans?
I like the Patriots in this one, actually, and I think that this is the Patriots' time of year. They've got the Texans this week. They've got the 49ers coming to New England the following weekend. I think that in 2 weeks' time, we're going to be talking about the Patriots as the best team in the NFL.
Well, we're about to speak with cornerback Terrence Newman of the Bengals. But before we get to him, something I've been thinking about, I was talking to Black Tie about a couple days ago, is what first-place team, what team currently in first place will not be there by season's end? I think that there are three prime candidates for that slide there. Let's assume, obviously, speculation, but I'm assuming one of those teams is going to blow it. Which one do you think it is? If you guys have to conjure your answer.
I got one.
You got one? Go ahead. Yeah.
Giants.
The Giants.
Feel like the Washington Redskins are starting to come on pretty strong. We said that we were talking about this the other day. Their defensive secondary, which was much maligned earlier in the season, is actually starting to play a little bit better. I know maybe it might be a little bit deceiving because they play so well against Eli Manning but even in the two games at home before that, they were really good about shutting down the opposing team's offense. So I think the Redskins do make a push, and with RG3, maybe part of it, too, is me wishing for RG3 to get into the playoffs and win the division because it looks like 7-9 is going to take that division again.
9-7.
Yeah, 7. Yeah, or 9-7.
That would be even worse.
That would be even worse, yeah. 9-7, excuse me.
Philip Rivers in the AFC West would laugh at that.
Yes. Seattle did that a couple of years ago.
I sort of agree with you. If you look at what the Giants have left, the Giants really have a brutal road the rest of the way here. The Saints is about as good as they have it because they have to play Denver. I mean, tell me who they have again. They have the Ravens, and that's on the road. They're a good road team, of course, and they play Denver, don't they?
At Atlanta, at Baltimore to close the season.
I'm sorry, yeah, that's who I was thinking of. Yeah, that's right. Atlanta is who they still have to play. But Atlanta, yeah, maybe they'll have...
Oh, and they close at Philly. They close with Philadelphia.
And that game's no jive either because that's the likely farewell to Andy Reid game. So who knows? Maybe the Eagles will be completely flat and no shows. But on the other hand, maybe they show up and send Reid off with a heightened spirit.
Right. Mm. Yeah, I'd be worried about that game, about the Eagles.
And it's a division game. You think they're going to come out flat against the hated Giants?
I would just love to see the Eagles come out huge for that game.
Handsome, how say you? What division, or current division leader, won't be there?
Right now, the Packers have the NFC North lead, and they're 8-4, tied with the Bears. I think the Bears win that division. There's something about the Packers this year. They keep losing games they shouldn't. The Bears' run-in's pretty easy. They have the Vikings this weekend. Then they play the Packers in what's going to be a key game. They've got the Cardinals after that and the Lions.
Well, you will be right if they are able to win at home against the Packers. That's what that division will come down to. I'll give you my answer in a minute, but Black Tie is waving wildly behind the glass there to alert me, I assume, that Terrence Newman is on the line.
He is on the line.
Oh, well, then terrific. I'd like to speak with him. ASAMP. Here he is from the hard-charging Cincinnati Bengals, formerly of those Dallas Cowboys who will pay a visit to Cincinnati this weekend. It's Terrence Newman. What's the poop, fella?
Nothing much. Is that an English accent that I heard?
It is. Is that all right to have an Englishman talking about our our brand of football?
Of course, Chappie.
Chappie, are you doing Louis Gossett Jr. and Iron Eagle? No, that is Chappie and Iron Eagle.
Yes.
That's before your time, Terrence. How are you today?
I'm good, and you?
Good, but not as good as you, because you're a member of the Cincinnati Bengals who are playing great football of late, and now your old pals from Dallas are paying a visit. What sort of emotions are going through your head this week, or is it more practical concerns like everybody hitting you up for tickets?
No, it's neither. I mean, obviously, I spent 9 years of my life in there in Dallas, and you know, had some good memories, some bad memories, but you know, it was a while ago. So my number one focus is to try to help my team win this game and push forward in our division and do you know, the big common goal, which is to win a Super Bowl. But you know, before that can happen, we have to win some more football games and make the playoffs.
Who has better uniforms, the Bengals or Cowboys?
Oh, that's a tough question. Well, the fact that we have three uniforms, I'm going to have to say us. You know, we've got a black jersey, white jersey, an orange jersey.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they pretty much have, you know, two jerseys. So because we have more options, I'm going to have to say us.
Can I tell you something, Terrence? I think this is maybe I'll be in the minority on this. I think the Bengals should go back to their original uniforms, the orange hats that just say the word Bengals on it. I like how that looked better than the stripes. How say you?
I think you might need to talk to Mike Brown and see if for a throwback game, bring those babies out.
Good idea. Good idea. Black Tie, get him on the line as soon as we get done here. As soon as we're done here, we'll have to make that call. All right, so let's talk about that game. And in fact, the way the division's shaping up, I've been saying now, all of a sudden you look up, it felt like the Ravens were running away with the North and it was going to be a fight with you and the Steelers to get that wild card spot, or maybe the both of you. If you look at it, have you guys talked about the fact that the Ravens are now 9-3? You have them the final week of the season, and they have three other tough games besides. Have you guys sort of looked at it and said, hey, guess what? We can still win this division.
I don't think we look at it that way. I think we're more in a point where we say, you know, we have to look at this week and focus on this week, win this football game, you know, worry about next week, win that football game, and so on. And then, you know, I think if we look at it that way, that's how we got to achieve our goal. We can't look at it as needing some help from another team. You know, as long as we do what we can do, and that's win football games, I think everything will be okay. And, you know, obviously they have games left, and Pittsburgh has games left, so we never know what's going to happen. But, you know, if we win games, I think everything should be okay.
You get to face your former team, as we've talked about. What was your relationship like with Tony Romo, and are you looking forward to playing him this week?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to every game, every week. It's always a challenge. You know, and I know a lot of those guys, spent a lot of time with those guys individually. So, you know, it'll be interesting to be on the opposite side this time. They're playing with those guys, playing, you know, against them. But it'll also be a challenge, and it should be fun because – you know, they've got top five in the league in passing. You know, they got DeMarco back, so obviously their run game has been bolstered a little bit. They ran it pretty good last week, and you know, they got some dynamic wide receivers. So obviously that's going to be a challenge in itself. But you know, that's what I'm looking for is, you know, week to week challenge and trying to, you know, trying to get our defense to play as best as we can and you know, try to limit those guys and win football games.
Do you go to the coaching staff and say, listen, in practice back in Big D, I really did a nice job on Miles Austin, not as great a job on Dezzy Bryant. If we're best off if you put me up against Miles all day long. Or vice versa.
No. Is that a dig at me or what? You want
to go? just asking. No, wondering
if... we've faced, you know, some very, very good wide receivers this year. And I think we've done a pretty good job, you know, as far as, you know, eliminating explosives and things of that nature. So, you know, Leon Hall is one of the best technical corners in the league. So it's been a pleasure playing with him and watching him play the game the way he does. And Adam Jones, he's come in and he's played really, really well. He's made strides like everybody has this season, you know, from beginning to end. So, you know, we've got quality, you know, good quality corners here. So none of us have backed down. We played guys who were 6'5" last week. You know, we played, you know, Denver, who's got bigger receivers. So, I mean, we don't back down from anybody. You know, everybody we see as a challenge, and we know that from week in to week out, we've got to handle our business to help the team win games.
What do you think about the buzz has really been among people that are watching the AFC North closely, and certainly people in Cincinnati know about your front seven on that defense, specifically the defensive line. Introduce the world to the casual football fan. Talk about Geno Atkins and the rest of those fellas, because I feel like they're under the radar, but arguably among the best in the league.
I think I should start with Geno. Geno is a guy out of Georgia who, I mean, he might be my height. He's like a little pit bull. I mean, he's probably 6 foot, you know, 6'1" at the tallest. But, you know, he's a wide body guy, thick body guy. He's got an excellent first step. And it's not a whole lot of times you get a guy who's over guards who's, you know, I think Geno has probably 8 sacks, you know. That's pretty impressive for a guy who's not coming off the edge.
Yeah.
To have that many sacks. I mean, it's amazing to see some of the things that he's done. And, you know, such a short time. I think this is his third year in the league or fourth year in the league. So, you know, his future is definitely bright. And, you know, same as like with Mike Johnson. And, you know, he's had multiple sack games. He's played his butt off. But those guys up front, man, they dictate a lot that happens in our secondary. Obviously, if you don't have a great front group, then, you know, it's going to be long days in the secondary. And these guys, man, they come off the ball. They've been stopping the run. I think they had those guys limited San Diego up front, you know, to less than 50 yards rushing. So, you know, that just says what we have up front. Those guys, they don't stop. They throw their ears back and they go after the quarterback. And they've done a great job so far.
Now, you can follow Terrence Newman at TerrenceNewman1. And I noticed from your Twitter feed, you have a photo of Red Dalton wearing a Kansas State sweatshirt. What's that all about?
Yeah, that was our little bet. TCU played K-State, and we bet, you know, wearing some K-State gear versus TCU gear. And obviously, I won the game, so I brought a K-State sweatshirt to the locker room. And I didn't even make him wear it the whole day. I just wanted to take a picture, put it on Twitter. And obviously, you could see by his face that he wasn't too happy about it, but he was a good sport about it.
Well, I don't think you should have let him off the hook. I think as a gentleman, he should have kept wearing it for the entire day, even though you gave him that pass.
Yeah, well, it would have been just a team race. So I figured if I get a picture of it, I can broadcast it to the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you.
It would have a greater effect that way.
I like it. And you know what? They're worse things because at least both teams wear purple. So it wouldn't be that bad for Andy Dalton. TCU wears the – I mean, K-State wears the purple as well. All right.
You got the real purple.
Yeah, that's true. I know. Are you excited about Colin Klein? Do you feel like things went the right way? Or do K-State and Colin Klein belong in that title game over the Irish or Alabama, in your opinion?
I mean, that's a tough one. Of course, I'm biased. I'm going to say, yes, we should deserve a chance, but I think they deserve a chance also. They played their way back into it. They played the extra game, and, you know, I think deservedly so. They, you know, definitely should have a chance at it as well. But, Collins played great this year, 11-1. That's a big-time season. So, you know, those kids have nothing to be ashamed of, and they have everything to be proud of. A bunch of guys who aren't five-star recruits, just they've always been underrated, but they've always overachieved. So that's definitely a great thing.
Yeah, amazing going up against the likes of Texas and Oklahoma and all those teams and keeping up and, in fact, looking better than them. Kudos to you as an alumnus there. And looking ahead, I know you said you're taking it week to week. About 2-3 weeks ago, I looked at the way the schedule was shaking out here, and I sort of mentally highlighted your upcoming game in Heinz Field. I'd like you to know, Terrence Newman, I will be in the stands in Heinz Field there. I'll be the guy waving the gold towel over my head, so you'll be able to identify me there. On December 23rd, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I feel like that game is what the playoffs come down to. What did you see when they paid you a visit? Was it Sunday night on Sunday Night Football? What did you see that makes you feel like the next time around we've got their number?
Well, before we get to that, I thought you'd have had a lot more pool and been on the sideline rather than stand. I don't really know what that's about, but, if you really want to be on the sideline, you can convert and become a Bengals fan, and well, that's what I can do.
This is a deal with the devil. Oh. I could go to the sideline.
Yeah, we take care of our people, so, that's just the way it is. But
Goodness. But, do I do it, Rank? What do I do? Do I abandon my loyalties so I could get a nice – I'm not Rich Eisen. I don't get sideline passes game in and game out, you know?
You're on a radio network, man. What are you talking about? You're supposed to have all kinds of hookups.
You're right. I should. Yeah, what gives?
I know,
get
right.
Commissioner Goodell on the line and says, "We'll get Mike Brown about the uniforms, then the commissioner." We have a lot of things to hash out here.
Talk to Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, you know what? Yes. Tomlin, then the commissioner. All right, we have a lot. We're going to be here a long time. Everybody settle in. Get a pizza in here. All right, Terrence Newman, go ahead how do you feel about that game? Yes.
Back to the game. I mean, we've lost I think we were on a three-game losing streak early in the season, and that was one of them. Thought we definitely had a chance to win the game. But at the end of the day, they made more plays than we did. And, the fact that the score ended up being what it was, I think they beat us by, a touchdown or 4 points or something. I don't know what it was. But, anytime that you're in a game, you have confidence. You might lose a game. There's no moral victories, but, you still have confidence. And I think Pittsburgh and Baltimore have been the two dominant teams in the conference for a while, from what I understand. So, anytime that's the fact. Of course, you want to try to knock off the big dogs. So, that's just what we're going to go after. They understand the importance of the game. We understand the importance of the game. And, I think when that game comes, it'll be a big game.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. And before that, you got those Cowboys like we talk about. They're all big from this point forward, Terrence Newman. Best wishes starting this Sunday and going forward. Maybe the one on December 23rd aside. But I don't know yet. I may still get in your ear. If Mike Tomlin doesn't answer my questions the right way, maybe I will be on that Bengals sideline standing next to you.
Well, I think we got a timeline in this gig, so
all right.
Got some decisions to make.
A time limit. I understand. You're tough but fair, Terrence Newman. All right, be tough and not fair on Dezzy Bryant, Miles Austin, and the rest of the Cowboys this weekend, man.
All right, we'll do what we can.
All right. A pleasure to speak with you. A pleasure to meet you over the telephone. Delightful fellow, this Terrence Newman.
You as well, Chuck.
All right. Boy, he's a regular James Bond, isn't he? I like that.
They call me 008.
One better.
Nice.
Exactly.
There he goes, Terrence Newman. Give his Twitter again there, Rank. What was it?
At Terrence Newman 1.
Oh, easy to remember.
Very
good. A swell fella. And you know what's weird? I didn't want to hold him up any longer to talk to him about this. Do you know he had never been on a roller coaster as a child?
That's right, yes.
Did you know that?
No.
Black Time mentioned that to us just before we started. Are you a roller coaster guy?
Whoa!
What?
You're hijacking the blacklist right now.
Oh, that's how I knew it. I knew you had mentioned it in some capacity. Fine. You want to do the blacklist? Oh, let me answer the question. I like that Terrence Newman. I didn't want to say it to his face, or to his ear, but I feel like, of course, that I'm rooting against his team in the playoff race, certainly in the AFC North race. And as far as that goes, that means, I guess, that I'm hoping the Cowboys beat him. But I actually think the Cowboys are going to beat him. I appreciate that, Rank. I'm surprised you didn't booby trap me and tell me I just picked against his team this weekend.
No, no, no. I don't feel like that needed to be said. No. It was a polite conversation, you know. I don't think you'd...
I've been, ridiculously, lucky to get to go and stand on NFL sidelines. I was just there last Thursday at the Atlanta game. Really cool to be right there in the mix of that stuff. So I wouldn't go into Heinz Field to go stand on the Bengals sideline. But if I had never, let's say, been on a sideline, or better, what if I'd never been to an NFL game? Mm-hmm. Hypothetically, is that enough if the guy says, hey, I know you you're a lifelong Redskins fan, but, you know, hey, come on the Philadelphia Eagles sideline and we'll take good care of you. Do you turn your back on your team?
Dave, I feel as though you've made an error.
What?
You should have said absolutely.
Why? Because I could. Sabotage.
Then you pull the heel turn. Because in Heinz Field is all a tizzy. They're like, how dare Dave Damashek?
Yes.
He turns his back on us, blah, blah, blah. And then when the big moment
of
the game comes.
Wait, who turned his back on us? Dave Dam what? Who?
But when the time comes, when there's 30 seconds left on the clock, and Red Dalton's going out there to lead his
folding
team back,
chair, bam!
Boom, you steal his helmet. It's you, and you say, all along, it was our plan all along, and the Steelers put you up on their shoulders. You ride out of the Three Rivers
Stadium.
They make
a statue of me in Pittsburgh. They erect a statue of Damashek. Well, that would be a fitting thing.
Okay.
How about could they put like an 8x11 picture of me
at
the airport right somewhere?
You would be like the airport. It would be you. It would be
DeFranco catching the immaculate reception and the father of our nation, George Washington.
Yes.
You don't need to know much else about Pittsburgh.
And then
when you get off the plane, the first thing you will see are life-size, mannequin figures or whatever call them, of George Washington. And Franco Harris catching the immaculate reception. I love it.
And then it would be you with the metal folding chair holding Andy Dalton's helmet.
I love it.
You missed it, but you blew your chance.
He didn't say the book. He said the window is closing. He didn't say it's closed yet.
You got to do it.
Maybe we get him back on the phone.
You got to do it.
I don't know. I do love orange and black, too.
It's your
colors.
You
know, that's my favorite color scheme for a uniform.
Absolutely.
All right, listen. My head's spinning now. But, yeah, let's get the commissioner on the line just to hash this thing out. We'll do that in just a minute. But meantime, to round out our conversation we started just before Newman, the division, the current division leader that will not be there anymore, I explained on episode 111 how very easily the Ravens could blow it. They go Redskins this weekend, Denver, Giants, and then at Cincy, all four of those games are losable. And if they lost three of those games, they could very well not just lose the division. They might wind up out of the playoffs if things break just so. Atlanta's going to hold on. Houston's obviously going to hold on. I think San Francisco's going to hold off the Seahawks. I don't agree about the Packers with Handsome Hank. I think the Packers are going to put that one away when they go into...
Well, both them and the Bears are holding tight.
Yeah, but they'll have the head-to-head. If the Packers just beat the Bears in the head-to-head, then doesn't make really a difference what else happens. They'll have the edge there. Mm-hmm. I'm with you, Rank. I think that it is the Cowboys even or the Redskins division. They could, based on what the Giants have left, the toughest game that the Cowboys have to host the Steelers still. And that'll be a pivotal one for them if they want to get to the postseason. I'm inclined to agree with you, Rank. I think the Redskins have a real chance because that pistol is in the short term. You know, a whole offseason, someone will solve it. They'll defensive coaches.
Will they, though? Will they?
Everything does get figured out.
What's
the stage?
Remember the Wildcat when the...
You guys cut it short, but that was actually a blacklist question yesterday. Is that like the new Wildcat or is it here to stay? Like, I think it's here to stay if you have the right personnel.
Yeah, there aren't a bunch of RG3s laying around. But, yeah, there are enough quarterbacks around that can sort of that might be able to execute that. But, so listen, they'll figure it out. All these things. That's the so-called chess match. Everything, how are we ever going to stop that? And then off-season, they figure it out. But in the short term, who's going to stop it? That's the question. I don't think it's going to be the Ravens with that defense. Did you see Chaz Batch eat them up? I don't think I don't think RG3 is going to have much trouble with them if that. And plus, Suggs is going to play, but we don't know. I mean, that defense is really diminished.
Wait, Lewis might be back.
That's not an even trade. I would I don't think that anyone in the Ravens organization would say they'd rather have Ray Lewis on the field than Suggs at this point. All right, let's get to the blacklist.
The blacklist. Black tie reads current events. The blacklist. Damashek and Wank if they're coming. The blacklist. The blacklist.
All right, guys. First off, the New Orleans Hornets, they are getting a new name change. Reports say starting next season, the team shall be known as the New Orleans Pelicans. As awful as this sounds, will this be the least intimidating team nickname in sports today?
Well, let's start there. Yes, the New Orleans Hornets will become the Pelicans, and then Charlotte is going to reclaim the Hornets, which was their original franchise name. Mm-hmm. That's a Michael Jordan says he's down for that and all that sort of
thing.
They can
do that?
Sure. What do you mean? The Browns did it, right?
Well,
you mean before
switching names? They kept their history. I mean, it would have been, I guess the water is...
Well, you know, we've talked about this. I'm all for if the NFL said, hey, L.A., all right, we're giving you a franchise, a startup team. We're not moving a team. We're giving you a brand new team. I would think St. Louis, forget about what Angelino football fans would want. I would think St. Louis people would be like, yeah, you know what, the Rams, that's really theirs anyway. Let them have that back. We'll start all new. Wouldn't you want to, if you're St. Louis, say, we'll get all new jerseys, all that new marketing, all that stuff. You know, just start fresh.
They should have done
I know
it.
You had the Kurt Warner era, but it's not like it's been something that the old Hall of Fame. Can you tell the story of the NFL without this? No, you can't because of the greatest show on turf. That was a great couple of years. But you could give up the Rams and start new.
They're about a decade too late if they should have done a franchise reset.
But
right when the Texans came in to the NFL, it should have been, okay, fine. You're Houston. The Baltimore team is the Colts. The St. Louis football team is the Cardinals. The Cardinals get a new name.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It could get messy if you start doing all this, because then St. Louis might say, all right, we want the Cardinals back now.
Yeah.
Give us the Cardinals. And then Arizona will say, all right, we'll become something new too.
We'll be something stupid like the Scorpions.
Well, they've never had
the Pelicans.
Yeah, they've never had. Pelicans, though, let's analyze that. That's not stupid. I like that. More people than not think it's stupid. I think it's cool. I like the Pelicans. And what is – so, Black Tie, your question is, what's the least intimidating mascot? Pelicans would be up there. I'll go Penguins, you know, Pittsburgh Penguins. That's pretty bad, a flightless bird. But I love it. The angry penguin on the sweater, that's cool. He's playing hockey and he's mean looking. You remember hockey.
Yes, I do remember that.
White Sox is pretty tame. They're not even dirty. You know, their white socks are pristine.
Like, oh, the Red Sox have coloring.
Yeah, yeah.
Ew,
well,
it's dyed.
Kurt Schilling brought that to life. You know, their blood, they're blood red.
Well,
at least that's tough.
We know what color ketchup makes with.
Oh, well, I don't know. So, but what's another conversation? Where was that question when Kurt Schilling sat with
us
last year at
the
Super Bowl?
We talked about that.
You said it was a ketchup?
I asked him if that was
real.
Did you?
Is that right?
Remember, yeah. I said, come on, let's be honest. And he goes, yeah, a lot of people ask that. Because we... It actually talked about it a little bit before he sat down, and we talked, and he realized I was an Angels fan. Talk about least intimidating names, Angels. And we talked about it before.
They have a connection to a higher power, so that does make them scary. I thought.
Well, now the Angels themselves, unless you're the.
Yeah, but they're powerful, aren't Angels? Don't they have magic on their side?
No.
And for that matter, the Orlando Magic. You know, it seems like, oh, that's pretty lame, but except if they can do a magic trick on you, then that's no good. You know, they could turn you into a frog or something.
I feel like my teams have, like, Angels, I don't find that intimidating. Lakers. Like, hey, look, we're boating enthusiasts, everybody. Fear us. Like,
yeah,
oh, no.
Yeah. Mariners sounds tougher. At least they sound
grizzled. Yeah, they're tough.
They've
you know?
Experienced the sea.
I feel like they'd have a trident in their hand.
Yeah, yeah. Here's an intimidating one. Knickerbockers. The Knickerbockers, essentially like a fancy man from the 19th century, isn't it?
But no one says that anymore.
What? I call them the Knickerbockers all the
time.
That's
their team name.
That's you.
What about the Athletics?
Well, so what? People call the Tampa Bay Buccaneers the Bucks all the time. Does that mean that that doesn't count? No. The Knickerbocker is a fancy man from the 19th century. He wears the high white socks. He's pretty. Isn't that right? Isn't that what he is? Like a gentleman, a socialite? I think that's what a Knickerbocker is. I don't think it's a tough guy, that's for sure.
But Athletics. We're the Oakland Athletics.
Well, I mean, it's lazy. That's more lazy than anything. The laziest of all team nicknames.
Wait, are they not the? Wait, everybody calls them the A's, so they're not the Athletics anymore.
But that's lazy in the same way that the Nashville Predators are lazy. Like they said, what we want is something scary. Like, well, yeah, we want an animal that kills it, that eats other animals. Like, what? We could be the Lions. We could be the Tigers. We could be the Bears. They all eat other animals. Let's just cover our bases and do all of them. You know,
yes, all predators,
all beasts that consume other animals. That's our team name. Same thing. Like, what are you good at? We're just athletic. You know, we're the Athletics. Go ahead.
Here's one that seems like it should be intimidating, but it's not. The Lightning.
Why is that not? I mean,
what are your odds of being struck by lightning? Like, you're like, yeah, okay, I'm afraid. Like, your odds, no, that's
not. The credibility of the NHL was struck down when the Lightning won a Stanley Cup about a decade ago. That was disgusting. I'll tell you, here's one. This is, to me, I've talked about it before. I'm going to talk about it again now. The worst name, the least intimidating name, the lamest name in maybe in all of sport is the Brooklyn Nets.
We disagree on that one.
The Nets. What is good? Hey, you got a new basketball franchise. Congratulations. What are you guys going to call yourself? Well, we want it to have something to do with basketball. Can we be the Basketballs? No, two on the nose. Well, we want it to have something to do with the sport. The Rims? No. Headline writers will have too much fun working blue with that one. The Floors? No, we don't want to get run on. The Nets?
Okay. It is lame. I do agree. I don't.
Is it? What if there was an NFL team? What if there was an NFL team called the Right Posts? I mean, you can't do it.
But you tell that to a dolphin that's gotten stuck in a net, then it takes an entirely different turn.
You always keep me honest, Adam, and I appreciate that.
PETA's out there protesting the name.
Black Tie, what do you say there?
English Premier League, as you guys know, I'm a big soccer/football fan. They have a lot of odd names. The Baggies.
New Zealand has like the Fighting Whites, don't they?
Yeah, it's all kind of like the West Brom Baggies in the Premier League, the Newcastle Magpies. It's just really some odd names.
Magpie is a crow, right?
Yeah, it's some.
What about a Hotspur?
Tottenham Hotspur. That's all right.
It's a Hotspur.
It's not just a spur. It's been heated up. I don't want that digging into my flesh.
Well, it's the person swinging the Hotspur. What about my Galaxy? Is that? That's not intimidating.
Yeah, that's running. Let's just claim the entire.
We're the Galaxy.
So let's go to Universe then. What about that? Not fair.
No, the Premier League also has exact opposite to the Angels. They have the Manchester United Red Devils. Mm-hmm.
They're also here in the United States where you live now, Black Tie. There's some other teams that go by Devils.
Not the Red Devils though. It's the very
what is with the Blue Devils? That is kind of lame. Does anybody ever break that one down, that they're the Blue Devils? Kind of goes against the whole nature of it. Yeah, they should be. Yeah. Right.
All right, next question on the blacklist. All right, so our guest on the show, Terrence Newman, as I like to call him, T-New.
As you like to call him.
Yeah. We go way back. He's no fan of roller coasters, as you guys mentioned earlier. His first ride on a roller coaster came when he was a member of the Cowboys, and he filmed this, put it on YouTube. You can check it out. It's a pretty crazy video where he's just screaming the whole time. So my question to you guys is, what is the most daunting roller coaster you've ever been on?
Daunting? I mean, I'm going to go favorite. I'm not scared of roller coasters. The only thing I don't like at amusement parks is being spun in a perpetual circle. That makes me feel sick. I don't like those ones where, you know, I remember we had one called Roundup in Pittsburgh at Kennywood Park, one of the great real amusement parks, all like wooden roller coasters and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, but wooden roller coasters are the worst.
They're great.
Those are fun.
They creak. They're great. Oh, they're fantastic. Man. But they would have just the ones that, like I say, the ones that just spin you round.
Like it's
And they're the ones that press you against the wall.
And the floor falls out?
Not for me. That makes me nauseated, but roller coasters... I really, If you, you know, that really is. I get uncontrollable laughter because I have such delight on a roller coaster.
Me too.
I love it. I get giddy. I dated a girl in college who worked at Cedar Point, Sandusky, Ohio, which is like an hour away from Cleveland. That place, man, that place has some great roller coasters. The best one there is the Magnum. I'll rate that as the greatest roller coaster ride I've ever taken. Rank, how say you?
I like the wimpiest roller coaster that's the most enjoyable is Space Mountain. There's nothing to it, but to me, that is one of the most enjoyable roller coasters. You don't do anything. There's no high drops.
There's nothing to it, yeah.
But it's a lot. I don't know why. It's so much fun. I don't like the ones that are outside and they just take you up as high as they can go and then just drop.
The drop, yeah. Those are like devil drop or whatever they call
it. Yeah, I don't like being in those. Like, I'll do the Tower of Terror at Disneyland where you're inside in an elevator. That doesn't bother me. That's a lot of fun. But you go to the one at, like, Knott's Berry Farm or Cedar Point or anything like that where they just – it's like a free fall thing. Although at Knott's Berry Farm out here in Southern California, they have something called the Windjammer where they take you up, but it's a swing. And it goes around and around. And because there's so many safety precaution in rides like this, they get stuck a lot because they don't want people free-falling. You get stuck. And so one night, the thing got stuck for like 8 hours, and they're interviewing people that are coming off of it. And, of course, the one lady who's like, I'm afraid of heights. My husband said, you know what? Ride this ride. This will conquer your fear. She's like, I'm never, you know. She was up there for 8 hours. That is the worst.
I like Terrence Newman, though. That's a funny thing to be afraid of. His career is running into gigantic men running faster than any other human beings have ever run before, but he doesn't like the coasters. Black Tie, how say you?
I have to go with Alton Towers. This is actually a ride in England back in my youth. It's one of those that drops straight down, but it's different. It doesn't just take you high up, then drop straight down. When you get to your peak, it then flips you over, so you're facing face down.
Ooh,
into a
I
black
like
into a black hole, and it goes really fast.
Whoa.
And it's scary stuff.
Yeah.
What's this one called again?
This is called Oblivion. There we go, Oblivion at Alton Towers. I don't know if it still exists, but it was one of those.
I love roller coasters. If I can get into a park when it's lightly populated, that's heaven for me. I just go on the same coasters over and over again. That's terrific.
Google that, by the way.
I'm looking at the picture.
Said.
Yeah, put that on the site there, Black Tie.
Wow,
put that up. NFL.com/Shek, S-H-E-K. That is a pretty good-looking one there. All right, Black Tie, let's bring home the week here.
I'd love to go on.
All right, this one, the NFL launched its first 30-minute animation series last week on Nicktoons. It's called NFL Rush Zone Season
How did
of
they
Guardians.
Not? You know, I don't have enough sway to get this terrible voice, my cartoon voice, into an NFL-sanctioned cartoon.
Hey, maybe you can.
Wait a minute. Time out. This is the first sanctioned cartoon?
Well, it's the first 30-minute show.
Yeah, well, that's right. You know what, Black Tie? Shame on you. You don't honor the NFL?
Well, it's not 30 minutes, is it?
All right, but ours is. But that's how they're billing
it's
it. They should have said,
building.
But the press release from the NFL should have said, building on the
success.
Raging success that has been the NFL, we've expanded now to 30 minutes with something else. But anyway,
you know what? ESPN Numbers Never Lie does a piece like that, too.
Do I know that? Yeah, I do know that, Black Tie.
I was asking.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I bet they know that Dave Damashek does a piece and was doing it for 6 months to a year before they launched theirs.
Right.
I'm curious.
All right,
even
so,
though ESPN employees came up to me and said, hey, we love that NFL that you do. We love that piece. And then about 3 weeks, 6 weeks later, all of a sudden, hey, look at what? ESPN has one now, too. All right, go ahead now.
All right, in honor of NFL Rush Zone, Season of the Guardians, Super Listener, DDFP Super Listener, Indy Sarah, she asks, what was your favorite cartoon growing up as a kid?
Super Friends, period. Done and done. That's it. I mean, there were a lot of great ones, but Super Friends, you can't beat it. I like the Zan and Jaina era. It's better than the one that came before it. That's when they expand a little bit. They do jump the shark, though, once they get to Apache Chief and Samurai Warrior. Was that his name, Samurai Warrior?
Sounds correct.
Samurai something or other. Yeah, that was bad. But before that, that's pretty good stuff. Captain Caveman as a Saturday morning job. I grew up watching. I saw a fair amount of Speed Racer. The problem is with like movies that you grew up with that you loved, and the special effects at the time seem really cool. When you go back and look at them now, you think, oh my goodness, it's so lame looking.
Like Land of the Lost.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bad example. That's a great example of really, really bad stuff. But even movies that you thought at the time in 1983, wow, I can't believe they make it look that way. Now it's
like
ridiculous.
Terminator.
Looks like kids did it. Yeah, it looks like kids made it. Same thing. You go back and look at some cartoons and you think, how did I sit through this? Like the Flintstones. Most cartoons until relatively recently, they move laterally. The characters just go through rooms that are never ending. Like the Flintstones live in a house that if you would actually construct it, it would be like 500 yards long. They just walk back. They chase each other back and forth. They can't go deep into the, there's no ability for depth. So anyway, Super Friends is my answer. How say you?
Count it down for my top three. I like Bugs Bunny. I love Bugs Bunny. I thought it was
very
clever.
I saw a lot, but I didn't love it. But yeah,
I loved it. The one Rebel Rabbit or something like that. That's one of my favorites. I remember as a little kid thinking that was the funniest Bugs Bunny I've ever seen. So that's my number three. Number two, Scooby Doo, A Fallback.
Uh-huh.
Really enjoyed Scooby Doo. But my favorite was the Laugh Olympics.
Oh yeah, we talked about Laugh Olympics.
We brought this before. Yeah, that was a great one.
Yeah, how keen. It was really Battle of the Network. That was a great time, late 70s, because they do Battle of the Network Stars. They did the Superstars, which is the best athletes in the world, like real, like the stars of the NFL and baseball and everything else, competing head-to-head in decathlon-type events. Google it. YouTube it, kids, if you don't believe me. It's real. And then even in the cartoon world, they had all the all-stars of that on three teams competing against one another. Wonderful show.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but was there an episode where the Really Rottens actually won?
I'm positive that they won at least once. I know. No. I know for a fact that they won at least once. But I think multiple times, which is something I greatly admire.
That they finally did get.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure something happened bad at the end that made it like, oh, see, so they're still losers. But they did, in fact, win the Laugh Olympics. Every episode ended with one of the three teams winning. It was great. Black Tie, how say you?
I have to go with Looney Tunes. It was pretty awesome as well growing up. Bugs Bunny.
You probably didn't get a ton. What did you get any of our kind of...
Look at that. Why didn't I get a ton?
Because you didn't live in the U.S. And I know television is limited. Was limited, certainly. It was limited in the U.S. I can't only imagine what it was like in other countries.
Oh, my gosh.
Have you ever...
That's offensive to you that I don't... My imagination...
Hold on.
Why would... Is it wrong that we assume... Okay, have you seen...
Don't we still make more shows than anyone else?
Hold on. Have you ever seen any of the Star Wars trilogy?
That's a decision of mine not to watch.
So it's not out of the realm of possibility that you might have somewhere along the way made the decision not to watch cartoons?
Well, it could be. It's not because it was unavailable to me, which is what Sheck's assumption was saying.
I don't think first of all, I've been to Europe and I flipped around the channel. This was 20 years ago, but they had like two channels.
Oh, well, growing up as a kid, I wasn't in Europe. I actually was in Nigeria. And
then I'm sure that Nigeria was a hotbed for great animated.
Well, once again, you're wrong. But yes, I did love the Looney Tunes growing up. Saw a little bit of Pinky and the Brain the older I got, which is pretty great.
Pinky and the Brain.
You guys probably don't know that much.
No, you're probably younger.
And then I still actually watched.
Plus, you are younger than me. Yeah, I'm talking about when I was growing up, there were five channels. So.
And now, by the way, nobody tweet out and go like, hey, what about South Park? Because that does not count. This is not part of this conversation.
Yes. The Simpsons for me. Simpsons for me is the best show ever. Yeah, so,
but we're not talking this.
And I still watch the Justice League till today. It's pretty awesome.
You ever watch Young Justice? That's pretty good.
I do watch Young Justice.
That's a good one.
Young Justice is all right. It's all right. I'm familiar with the program. I like it.
Transformers Prime, maybe? No one?
Which one?
Transformers Prime.
No, I was a little bit too old when the Transformers first came around, so I've never really gotten into that one. All right, well, listen. I think we've accomplished a great deal. Is that the end of the blacklist there?
That is the end of the blacklist.
All right, let's wrap it up. That was a good one, and I like those questions you did.
That was actually pretty good, yeah.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Indy Sarah for the question. She was pretty good.
Oh, that's well. That
big shout out
it.
To the Czech Republic and the Rank Amateurs and Black Tie. I think it's about time you come up with your little gaggle of supporters. All right, then let's turn it over. We'll get out of here in Studio 66. The fellows from around the league, Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler, are on their way in here for their weekly debate club. Make sure you stay tuned for that. It's always entertaining stuff. We'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce next week. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven, and take it away, Around the League Debate Club. Hey, damn, Shaq. Oh,
Welcome back to the ATL Debate Club. My name is Dan Hansis, joined as always by
Mark Sessler. Dan, you're back. It's your day off and you've shown up faithfully.
I am back. I'm very upset, actually. I go away for one day and we write two around the league posts on Saved by the Bell. How does this happen?
Yeah, it is a sweet spot. It's a Dan Hansis sweet spot. But listen, that's when you require time off to refresh and reload, other people are going to jump in.
Yeah, that's just the way of the beast around here. I do want to talk about this. This is my favorite post of the week.
Has to be.
Yeah. Jim Harbaugh, San Francisco 49ers coach, former Indianapolis Colts quarterback, apparently had a cameo on Saved by the Bell, The New Class, back in, I guess, the mid-90s, it seems.
Yeah, we haven't tracked down an official date, but it looks very mid-90s, doesn't it?
It does. Like, Jim is dressed like an extra in Showgirls. There's just the general vibe. He has that white guy haircut from the mid-90s where it was kind of wavy in the front and then tight on the sides and back. And then he was wearing these, like, light-colored jeans with, like, a zipper. The cut of the jeans was really odd. It was like the zipper was almost a foot long. I was staring in that area.
Well, you were a little focused on that aspect. I mean, I found it interesting. They made him look completely unintimidating for an NFL quarterback.
Well, yeah, you're right about that. And before we go further, let's play the soundbite because the theme of the episode, and I didn't watch The New Class. I know you didn't either. We watched the original, the only one that mattered.
Sure.
With Zach and Slater and Jesse and the like. But let's play his inspirational speech to some cast members.
Being famous does not make you a hero. Being a hero isn't about what you do out there on the field. It's about who you are in here. It's about helping your friends, your school, and your community.
What a great definition of heroism.
Very moving. And he, by the way, he plays Screech's cousin. It's very odd.
Well, it's a very tenuous link. It's like they could have found a way to get him on the show without that being the case. But, you know, this is a show. By the time they got to The New Class, Screech is your headliner.
Right. I mean, as Greg Rosenthal, who stole my story that I should have written, but he wrote, and he did a great job with it.
Well, thank you for throwing that in.
I'm upset with Greg about this for not calling me in. As Greg put, when Screech Powers, Dustin Diamond, is the headliner, when he is the first billing in the credits, something went wrong. And also, Screech is one of those guys that, you know, Dustin Diamond, some people are not supposed to get tall. You know, he was supposed to be diminutive, you know?
Right.
He was supposed to be a small guy.
Right.
And all of a sudden, because I lost track of this show as I got older and The New Class took over. Screech is like 6'4".
Well, he's like a man walking around a high school still operating as a child.
What is he even doing there?
Well, I mean, he's clearly not past the classes he needs to get out of this environment, but it's – no.
No, he was – I think he was valedictorian.
Well, it makes no sense. Yeah, I mean, the man is obviously unable to move on in his life.
Wait. You mean valedictorian?
What do you mean?
That's what the word is.
Oh, valedictorian? Whatever. Yeah. See, I didn't win that.
You didn't win valedictorian?
So anyway, yeah, but, you know, here's the thing with Harbaugh. I get a feeling it's the mid-90s. He's a handsome man. He's an NFL quarterback. His agent probably roped him in on this, you have to think, right? Hey, Jim, we got this great idea. He probably shows up on set having a vague idea of what Saved by the Bell is, knowing, you know, Mark Paul Gosselaar and Mario Lopez and Tiffany Amber Thiessen. And he's thinking he's getting that cast.
Right, no, yeah.
And then he gets these rogue, retreads and imitation brand of the same characters, and then a 6'5" Screech. Belding's still there, like a creep.
Very much a bizarro world. I mean, I'm not sure that he had ever watched the show, let's be honest. But, you know, he was on our research showed that he was on The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. as well.
Harbaugh was.
Yeah, some lost show back in the day. So there was a period where I think you're right. There was some agent play at work that said, listen, let's take you up a level.
Right.
Obviously, some misguided representation.
And you get the feeling that he probably, because his father was a coach, correct?
Correct, yeah.
And the guy obviously had it in him. He's an excellent NFL coach now. I mean, maybe in the horizon as a 30-year-old looking ahead, maybe he didn't want to follow in his dad's footsteps. Maybe he wanted to be an actor.
Well, I was thinking about that. Is there like a part of him that thought, this is my way out of the life that's been kind of formed for me from the beginning?
I would love to ask him that. and I'd love to have him on the podcast. I'm sure he would come on and talk about all this stuff with us.
We'll have him next week.
So that was interesting.
Well, let me ask you, I mean, because we did talk a couple weeks back about the quarterback slash actor.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had the debate over whether Peyton Manning is or is not the best, where Aaron Rodgers falls
sure.
in that. You've seen a significant portion of work from Harbaugh at this point.
Right.
You know, this isn't him today, but where would you rank him?
I can't rank him very high. I mean, this isn't his fault. This is a trait that's run through athletes in Hollywood production for years. And he's very stilted. His hand gestures are uncomfortable. It seems like even when he's walking, he's like a bad actor as a walking person. And that's never a good sign.
I think the Harbaugh of today, though, would be fascinating. Even maybe the Harbaugh of 10 years from now could
right.
become a potentially very strong villain on screen, or just a psychotic sidekick of some sort.
Well, I will say this. He's in that commercial now. I think it's a Visa commercial
yeah.
where the random dude comes into the locker room and gives yep. the Niners a speech, and then Harbaugh comes in and he's like, "What are you doing here?" And I remember thinking to myself as I watched it, "Wow, he's pretty good."
Well, this is obviously, listen, he's been practicing this going back to the mid-90s. Anything that you've been doing since the mid-90s, you're pretty good at.
I think you can go in a lot of directions with that, and I agree with you.
Yeah.
So that's that. What else do you want to talk about today? I mean, is there anything else we need to talk about that topic?
I think we'll definitely put a link to the video so people can take a look and just like, kind of soak this in for themselves.
It is. It's actually magical. As, you know, Mark and I, we both kind of came of age in the 90s. And, you know, Harbaugh is, it's like a time capsule, just watching this all unfurl. And then you see him today, and then you see what he was, you know, back when Wonderwall was like, you know, number one hit in America. It's a great time for us all. Okay, moving on. Mark, what to you is the biggest subplot of the NFL this week?
I think for me, the game that just completely kind of mesmerized me was the Monday night Redskins win over the Giants. I think it was number one. It was maybe the best Monday night game of the year. I know some people talked about Seattle and Green Bay.
Oh, God, no. Never.
Well, that was thrown out. You don't think so?
The fail Mary?
Yeah.
I feel like that was one of the most frustrating football experiences I've ever had as a fan.
But memorable.
Memorable, yes, but not necessarily a good game or something that you want to remember as a fan. It was kind of like a low point for the league, I thought, for over a course of many years.
No question about that. I mean, I think this in the opposite direction was like, it's December, you've got the Giants and Redskins, which that has not been a good matchup in a long time.
The Giants have kind of been up and down for the past decade, but they're always in it. The Redskins have disappeared, but now they're very clearly back at this point.
Oh, they're back. And I mean, it's like, you know, it's funny because we talked last week to our editor, Greg Rosenthal, about the Stick a Fork in Them series, which basically suggests when we stick a fork in you, you cannot make the playoffs.
Right.
And we boldly, well, Greg, I should say, boldly stuck a fork in the Redskins back when Shanahan said, you know, basically, we're looking towards next year.
Right.
He made those comments, which were misinterpreted. They are on fire of late.
Well, they had that happen to 3-6. They had their bye week. Shanahan got roasted for a week for, and I always thought it was a silly story, but the insinuation was that Shanahan had cashed in on the season, was evaluating for next year, which I thought they kind of twisted his words. They come back from the bye, they knock out three straight division opponents.
Right.
Go from 3-6 to 6-6, including the Giants. So now what we have is they blew the race wide open on Monday night. Now you have the Cowboys, Redskins, one game out, the Giants, one game up, and in a weird place, kind of. You know, I don't know what to expect from them. They had Antrell Roll, I thought, said something interesting, the Giants safety. You know, all leading up to the game against the Redskins, there were some Giants, Justin Tuck in particular, but I feel like I heard it from other places too, that, you know, this almost a hero worship of RG3. And I think everybody loves RG3, whether you're a football fan or a player. He's a dynamic talent. He's a different type of player. And he, by all accounts, is a really kind of dynamic personality. I think in some ways, and this is what Roll was getting at, was like, you know, that's good, and we respect our opponents, but I don't respect my opponent before the game. After the game is said and done, I'll give somebody props. But there was a little too much of this, you know, oh, he's such a great player. Tuck saying, I see him in my nightmares. It's like, just get it done. They Roll said we need to get our dog back or something along those lines, and that makes sense to me, actually.
Well, it does. I mean, this is, we're talking about the world champions here that have not looked like it of late. And this, the reason the Redskins, I think, are a scary situation for any team to deal with is that it took Shanahan and company a little bit of time to figure out exactly how to make the most out of RG3 and the rest of the players. They, you know, in the two games against New York, they ran for over 450 yards.
Wow.
And they're running that pistol offense, and basically I think that they've finally hit their stride, and they've made wreckage of the NFC East, and I'm not sure who wants to deal with this team down the stretch.
The one thing, the one caveat I will say, and I think Gruden on the ESPN telecast made a good point, and he said it several times, he's getting hit way too much, and he's taking big shots, RG3. And, you know, as dynamic as he is, a talent, if you have a separated shoulder or a concussion, you know, that team's done.
And he's not Cam Newton in terms of his stature. He's much more of a slight quarterback in sense. Well, who do you – from where we are right now, who wins that division?
I think the Giants hold off. I think the Giants – I can't turn my back on them knowing what they're capable of. Even – listen, last week they just roasted the Packers at home, who's – it's a good team, good Packer team that has holes, but a very good team. The Giants have that in them. They're almost, they're always just like the sleeping Giant type situation.
Yeah, and no pun intended, I'm sure, by you there, Dan.
What do you think?
Well, I go with the Giants, too. I picked them before the season to win the division, and they scare me a little bit right now. They've played a little soft. I think it's a good suggestion by their own defensive guy. That's like, what's going on in New York? But, no, I think they're going to – I think they'll pull it out.
Okay. Hey, let's – one last thing before we go today. Last week we talked about Adam Rank, who had been very dismissive of the ATL Debate Club.
Always.
On the Dave Damschek football program, which we are on every week, as guests. So we used a code word, or it was code words last week. It was, what was it again? I can't remember.
It was skinny tie.
Skinny tie.
And why, though?
It was because of a fashion accessory that Rank has really kind of embraced in the past 12 to 14 months. That with a tie clip. It's, you know, it's sharp. Rank has probably lost about 30 pounds, I'd say, in the last 6 months.
He's looking good.
We actually talked about playing basketball, getting together, and he said, I won't play basketball till I get under 200, and he's just about there now. That's pretty impressive. But well, go ahead.
I mean, it's what's unimpressive, though, is it's very clear that Adam Rank has never listened to our show.
No. So let's call him right now. Let's call him downstairs at his desk in the NFL.com newsroom. And see if he picks up. I want to find out if he listened to last week's show. All right, here we go.
Hello?
Adam Rank.
Yes.
This is Dan Hansis with Mark Sessler on the ATL Debate Club.
Hello, Adam.
Hello, guys. What's going on?
What's going on? We just wanted to give you a call, see if you picked up. We weren't sure if you listened to the show last week and if you knew the code word.
Of course I did.
What was it?
Didn't you see me walking around with a fat tie?
The ties were getting bigger and bigger. It was almost like a 70s game show host at one point. It was almost like parody ties by the end of last week. So
parody
I had a sneaking suspicion that you might have done it, but I guess you do know the code word then. It sounds like it's pretty obvious.
Wait, so were you tipped off? I mean, clearly last week is the first time you'd listened to even a minute of the show.
Why would you make such accusations? You know, I'm big fans of you guys. You know, if you read my like-dislike column, which will be available today on NFL.com, NFL.com/AdamRank, you would know that I'm big fans of both of yours. I consistently link to you guys and try to help, you know, spread the wealth, so to speak.
Wait a second.
You know?
But wait a second. And we're big fans of Adam Rank, too. But you've been you're on record on the Damschek football program that you haven't listened. So that's all we were working off.
Oh, I see.
Facts.
I was just being facetious. I don't miss an episode.
Well, that's awesome. We just want to thank you for that, and we're glad you picked up. If you didn't pick up, we were just going to call back next week and keep doing it until you did pick up.
I was tripping out because it comes up as NFL Network on my phone. And I'm like, who? I'm like looking around the newsroom. I'm like, who could this possibly be?
It's a bunch of jokers from upstairs.
Who produces for you guys?
Bryce.
Oh, man, that must be so nice.
Yeah. Hi, Ray.
He's a professional.
If I, you know, now knowing that this is black tie free, it's going to be the most must listen to part of the podcast every week.
The black tie Rank war is heating up.
I don't think it's much of a war. Yeah. Much like the war between Coca-Cola and RC Cola isn't much of a war.
Wow. Adam, thank you very much for picking up the phone. And
no, thanks for having me.
We're
going to
be downstairs in like 3 or 4 minutes.
We'll see you in like literally 100 seconds.
I can't. No. I can't wait.
Thank you, Adam. And
No.
You're a hero.
Thank you.
Amongst men.
Bye.
Bye. That's it. We're out of time.
It's over.
All right. So until next week, ATL Debate Club. See you.